Luke chapter 18 is where we will be. And before we jump into the middle of Luke's gospel, let's just remember a couple things. Luke was a doctor, and he wrote this gospel to his friend Theophilus and many other non-Jewish believers so that they would understand the full scope of Jesus's story, so that they would have certainty concerning the things that they were learning and what they were hearing from eyewitnesses of Jesus and also from other men and ministers of the word. And so Luke is writing this account, this story of Jesus, for us, his primary readers, people like us, people like Theophilus, non-Jewish men and women in the church. So we get to chapter 18 by reading through Luke's account of him telling the good news of who Jesus is and how he was born and what he is teaching. And we see a few chapters earlier that Jesus turns his attention towards Jerusalem intentionally to head towards Calvary. And along the way, he is declaring truth about himself and about the word, but also about the kingdom that is coming. Luke expresses Jesus's voice in saying that the kingdom is coming in grace and in judgment. It's coming in grace because Jesus Christ is the king, and the kingdom is being ruled by the king, Jesus, over his people and really over all of creation that he was a part of. But the kingdom is also coming in judgment, specifically for those who oppose Jesus and oppose the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So that's the context in which we come to chapter 18, where Jesus tells us two parables, two stories, the parable of the persistent widow and the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector as they pray in the temple. And that's where we will spend our time this morning. But first, I would like to just give you a word of caution, okay? If you're like me, perhaps you've been born and raised and have attended church most of your life. And when you hear parables, you can easily become distracted and think, oh, I've heard this one before. Or, oh, parables are just stories. In fact, maybe they're just children's stories. Or maybe other definitions of parables start popping into your head, like parables are earthly stories with heavenly meaning. And that all of that is true, but parables are so much more than just stories, so much more than just stories for children, so much more than just whimsical fables or good morals or something for which we can maybe pull a nugget of wisdom out. Let me challenge you, if you're able, to set aside any Sunday school training that you may have had and hear these parables maybe with fresh ears. Parables truly are windows to the kingdom. So here's the king, Jesus, opening up a window, two windows for us this morning, for us to peek through and see all that God is granting in his kingdom for us. So with that imagery in place and that word of caution and challenge out there, let's take a moment and ask God to do a work in our hearts. Ask the King to teach us something fresh and something new this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your kingdom is coming. It is coming in us, it is coming through us, it is coming around us. And Lord, this morning we ask specifically as we review your teachings in these two parables here in Luke 18. Lord, I pray that you will expand your kingdom, expand our view and an understanding, and allow us to enter into your kingdom in a fresh new way. Lord, do a significant work in us and through us and around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 18, parable number one, the persistent widow. And he, Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" So this morning, as we approach these parables, Jesus' teaching to us, I want us to learn some lessons along the way. So if you're taking notes in your bulletin like this, you'll notice there's lots of space. And I've given that intentionally because I want Jesus to teach you a lesson from this parable. So as we go through and unpack what Jesus is saying and what he is teaching, allow the Holy Spirit to do a significant work in your life this morning. So here we are. Luke gives us the first lesson right off the bat. He's so kind. In verse 1, he says, Jesus is teaching this parable for this reason, to show that we ought to pray all the time and not lose heart. So the primary lesson of this parable that Jesus is telling is to teach us to be persistent in our prayer life, to not give up, to stick it out, and to continue in our prayers day and night. He does that by showing us the widow. There was a widow in that city, and she had been wronged in some significant way. She knows that she is right, and she is hungry for justice, but she has no one to present her case, no one to fight for her, no one to bring her justice. She's like most widows at that time. She was needy, overlooked, and an outcast in her own community. Often, she would have no means for which to provide for herself. She had no power of her own. She comes to the judge, an unrighteous judge at that, with a weak point, a weak foundation to stand on. So she does what only she can do. She persistently pursues the unrighteous judge, crying out for justice to be served, for the wrong to be made right, and the whole to be made whole again, demanding that the judge hear her and see her side of the story and rule in her favor. But the widow's persistence wore down the judge. So the judge here is unrighteous. We're told twice that he did not fear God and he had no respect for people. He's the worst kind of judge ever. And so here we have this contrast of people. We have this widow who is powerless and can do only what she can do, which is bring her case from a weak position to a judge who just refuses to hear her because he's the worst kind of judge. See, we can see ourselves in the story already if we open our hearts to it. We're like the widow. We are the widow. We come from a weak position. We have no strength of our own. We have no advocate on our own. We have nothing of our own. We need a judge to rule in our favor. We need someone else to come alongside and be our advocate to take our place. We need Jesus. Jesus is that for us. But the judge, he neither fears God nor respects people. He's the worst kind of judge. But the widow's persistent pursuit of him wears him down, and he rules in her favor, and justice is finally served. So what is the lesson that Jesus wants you to learn this morning? It may be this: that our persistence in prayer matters to God. It matters. Be open to his teaching in your life. Jesus is making it very clear that our God is not like this unrighteous judge at all. See, earlier in Jesus' story, he actually taught about this with his disciples in Luke chapter 11. He told a story about a friend who had a friend come visit late in the night, midnight, in fact, and he was unprepared. And so this host goes to a neighbor, another friend, for help, and is knocking on the door. The friend refuses and refuses and refuses until finally he gets up and helps his friend adequately serve this guest from out of town. And this is where we hear that Jesus says, we just need to ask and it will be given to you, and seek and you will find, and knock and it will be open to you. And then Jesus says, what father would give hurtful gifts to his son? If your son would ask for a fish, would your father give him a poisonous snake? If your son asked for an egg, would he give him a venomous scorpion? No, obviously the answer is no. Our Heavenly Father, God the Father, will only give good gifts, and much more he will give the ultimate good gift of the Holy Spirit, which means he's giving you salvation and justification and sanctification, placing you in a position of high honor and in the family of God. See, our God gives good gifts, and he gives in an unreluctant manner. He's quick to give. You see, where we feel like when we come to God in our persistent prayers, we often feel like we're nagging God, don't we? And we're begging, we're pleading, and often we feel like nothing is happening. And we can even begin to believe the lie that in some way our persistent prayers become this nagging manipulation for God to do what we want him to do. And that's not the point here that Jesus is teaching us. The point is that Jesus wants us to pursue, diligently pursue and ask and keep asking so that we can experience the full abundance of goodness of God, including a profoundly deep and intimate relationship through our prayers. That's the lesson of persistent prayer. When we pray with persistence, we draw near to God. We love him more, and our heart is strengthened. So don't lose heart, church. Keep it up. Pursue persistently in your prayers. But there are times, the Bible is clear, there are times in which we can get in the way of our prayer life. It's very clear. It's a fairly short list of ways in which we can be our worst enemy and often become that unrighteous judge ourselves. When we live a life that is in unrepentant sin. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, it says, but your iniquities, that's sin, have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. So that is, he does not hear you. So in those cases, we must search our hearts and confess our sin and repent from those sins. Secondly, we're told in Proverbs 28:9, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, hearing the word of God, even his prayers will be an abomination. So if we ignore the teaching of God's word, if we ignore God speaking truth and life into our own lives, we will be a block to our own prayers, for he will not be able to hear us. So it is important for us to listen and obey. Thirdly, our pride and our selfishness within our prayers can be a hindrance. Matthew 6 says that when we pray, we must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and to pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. And we'll talk more about this in a minute, but ultimately, our hearts need to be humble before God and take a humble position and posture before a holy God. Fourthly, we allow doubt to rule in our hearts. James reminds us in chapter 1 that if we lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. It will be given to him, he says. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. We must ask and persistently ask in faith, leaving our doubt behind. And then lastly, to this list, and James also reminds us in chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. And so often we ask God for things that we just shouldn't be asking for. And in that case, we must be like Jesus, who when in the garden, turned to his loving Heavenly Father and said, not my will be done, but yours be done. And in that, we should pray that God's will be done in our own lives all the time. We sometimes think that when we don't get answers, it's because that God isn't answering our prayers. And if there are hindrances of our own making, that may be true. But more often, it's our own false perspective. In reality, when God answers no, or tells us not yet, or to wait, those are legitimate answers from God for our prayers. No is a legitimate answer, but we don't like it. Those are unwanted answers. You see, in this parable, Jesus is teaching us to be persistent and to pray rightly and to seek justice. And our God is not reluctant to give good gifts to us. This parable is not saying that all of our prayers will always be answered the way that we want them to be answered or when we want them to be answered. We are just to pray persistently. You see, there's one other lesson that maybe we can learn from this. I believe that as we pray, we recognize that we pray with and to a Savior who is all sufficient, who is everything that we could ever need or want. And so when we pray, every prayer that we have ever prayed and will ever prayed will be answered in Jesus. Consider that this morning. Every prayer that you will ever pray, you will find your answer in Jesus. So when we pray, Lord, I've lost my keys or my phone or my glasses, we should pray, give me Jesus. When we pray because our feelings have been hurt or we've been personally wronged in some way, we pray, give me more Jesus. And when we pray when we've been passed up for promotion or for recognition or we've even been dismissed from our job or career, we should be praying for more Jesus in those moments. When we pray and because we get an unwanted diagnosis from the doctor, we most definitely need to pray for more Jesus. And when we are separated from our family because of crisis or because of loss or because of pain or because of just life circumstance, we pray for more Jesus, because every answer to our prayers is found in Jesus. And even this, church, when our country and our government and our politics and our culture is growing more and more godless, we pray for more Jesus. More Jesus. Please, God, give us more Jesus. So, what is Jesus teaching you from the persistent widow this morning? What are the lessons that you are learning? What is God speaking to you this morning? And then Jesus told a second parable. He said, in this parable, Jesus was teaching to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like that guy, the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, this man went down to his home justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Here we have a second story, a second parable that Jesus is teaching. And Luke once again gives us the first insight of why Jesus is teaching this. There are some who believe that they are more righteous than others, and their righteousness is found deep within themselves. And as a result, they look down on others in contempt. He's telling this story. Can you picture it? Can you picture these two men walking up to the temple? It may be difficult for us, unless you've been there or you've seen lots of pictures. But the reality is that they literally had to walk up to the temple. Every step to get to the temple to pray was a step on the incline, along the path, up steps until they reach the pinnacle of the temple. So that is an important aspect of here, these two men walking uphill to the temple. Now, part of that is that they would be noticed. These two figures, the Pharisee and the tax collector, were notable. People knew who they were. The Pharisee wore a specific outfit. They had uniforms. Everyone knew who the Pharisees were. They were given away by their many tassels, and there are lots of they just looked good, right? And guess what? Everyone knew who the tax collector was too, for the other reason. The Pharisee is the most religious man in the community. And everyone looked to him and knew that he was in the right place at the right time. So it was proper and the right thing for a Pharisee to go and pray in the temple. The tax collector, not so much. All right, so this is where we have to set aside some of our Sunday school training, because in many ways, and we've all learned, that the Pharisees are the bad guys in the story. They always are, right? They were opposed to Jesus. Jesus taught against them. Jesus called them a brood of vipers, and they came up and schemed with a plan to put Jesus to death, and eventually did. So let's set that all aside. If you were hearing this story for the first time as Jesus told it, you would hear in a different way. You would know that out of these two men, one should be there and one should not. The Pharisee was the good guy. He's the one that should be there. The tax collector, not so much. So if Jesus were here this morning and he were to tell this story, it may sound a little bit like this. There were two men who drove up to church. The one man was a pastor and he was driving a light yellow Cadillac. Well, okay. So my dad was a pastor, and he always wanted a light yellow Cadillac for some reason. I don't know. So in my version of this story that I'm hearing, the pastor is driving a light yellow Cadillac. My dad never got it. But then there was a second man, and this man or woman is a politician, a certain politician, driving up in their motorcade with their Secret Service. I won't use any names. I'm sure that in your mind's eye, you can see the face of your particular politician. And they drove up to church to pray. As you were hearing this, you would instantly categorize these two people. The pastor was supposed to be here. He's the one who is supposed to pray. He's the one who leads in prayer in church. The politician, maybe not so much. It's not his place. And this is what the ears of those who heard Jesus tell this parable were considering. But then Jesus does something that was shocking. And he turned the table on the whole story. You see, when they started to pray, they revealed their true nature, their hearts. And when the Pharisee opened his mouth, he was standing in the middle and he began to pray, God, thank you for not letting me be like all the rest of these nobodies, especially the extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers, the sinners, and especially that guy over there, that tax collector guy. Thank you for not letting me be like him. The Pharisee was full of self-righteousness. He wanted others to see him praying and to hear him and to recognize how righteous and how holy and how spiritual and how clean he was before men. He had everything in place. But the tax collector, now let's understand who the tax collector really is. He was a man from the community who became an outcast because of his alignment with the Roman government. He worked for and with the Romans, the oppressors. And as a result, that work relationship with the heathens, with the idolaters of Rome, disqualified him from even being at the temple. Everyone knew this. And so he was in the wrong place. He wasn't allowed to be there, technically. But that's not all. The work that he did for Rome was to collect taxes, and that was bad. But it got worse because often tax collectors would charge what Rome was charging and then charge extra to line their own pockets, to live off and cheat and steal from their friends, families, and community that they lived in. They were the worst of the worst. But when the tax collector opened his mouth to pray, his true heart was revealed. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that, my friends, is what Jesus said. That man goes home justified, fully forgiven, just as if he'd never been, had ever sinned, as if he had never taken a dime illegally and used it to extort others. The end of this story is shocking, that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. So what is Jesus teaching you in these parables this morning? What lessons about prayer are you learning afresh? Perhaps it's the lesson that our prayers will always reveal the true nature of our heart. Or maybe it's the lesson that our personal piety should be deeply rooted in humility and in selfless ambition. Or maybe it's something else. I pray that God is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is active and working within your heart right now, teaching you to be men and women, to be a church, to be a community of believers who are persistent in your prayers, to pray without ceasing, to put your trust in a holy, righteous, and a faithful, just God, a people who will humble yourselves before the mercy of God, and exalt only the powerful name of Jesus above all others. Oh, church, don't lose heart. Be strengthened and encouraged this morning that every answer to your prayers is truly found in Jesus. So as we close our time this morning in this service, I want us to take just a few minutes. A few minutes without distraction and without words to let the Word of God and the teaching of Jesus speak to you this morning. I want you to take some time to pray. Perhaps you need to revisit a prayer that you've long time abandoned, something that you used to pray over and over, seeking God to answer, and you felt like there was just no answer to be had, and so you abandoned it. You left it alone. You neglected coming back to that prayer. I talked to a friend this week, and I just simply said, "Hey, bud, have you been praying about this?" And 2 days later, he called me back and he said, "I know we were talking on the phone, but it was like you literally reached out and slapped me in the face because I hadn't been. I used to, but I stopped at some point along the way." Maybe you're like that. You used to pray for something, but you haven't in a long time. Be persistent. Do not lose heart. Be strengthened and encouraged to know that Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above you can ever ask and think. Perhaps you need to seek God's mercy this morning because you've been living a lie. You've been living in unrepentant sin. There's been that one thing that is hidden deep and dark within you. Only you and God know. Take this moment to confess and to repent and to allow God to do a cleansing work in your heart and life. Perhaps you've let doubt slip in and creep into your life. And you've been praying, but secretly, you just don't believe God's going to answer. You have a doubt, and you need to exercise your faith. Stretch those faith muscles and take significant steps and believe that God is able. Or perhaps you're facing something that just seems too big. It's too much. It's too difficult. And in that, remember that Jesus is the answer to your prayers.